Beloved, turn to one passage and one passage only. It will be what our sermon is all about. It's the last three or four verses of Matthew. Matthew, the 28th chapter, verses 18 through 20. I trust we know it, but do we really? Listen carefully to the conclusion of the Gospel of Matthew. In Matthew 28, verse 18, it says, "And Jesus came and said to them, 'All authority has been on earth and on heaven been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age.'" It's rather amazing how much this passage is easily misunderstood. This great commission. In fact, if I can dare say it, in some ways, in the modern day church, the great commission is the great omission. Three things to think about. Sometimes when we look at this concluding passage in Matthew, we think that it was only given to the apostles. Second thing we need to think about is it seems like we have a difficult time actually finding the one and only main verb in this passage. And then the third thing, sometimes I don't know if we appreciate what this sentence actually focuses upon and how and why we are to do what we're told to do in this passage. One, two, three. The first thing. The Great Commission is indeed given directly to the apostles. And notice what Jesus says. All authority. Do you know what authority means in the New Testament and what it means in the English language? All power, Jesus says, absolutely belongs to me and has been given to me by the Father. All power. That's what goes into this Great Commission. Jesus came doing the will of the Father, and now all power, all authority, has by the Father been given to him. For the most part, as we look at this, we say, well, yeah, this was given to the apostles. I don't know how many times I've been told in the church by brethren that this passage was, and this command was actually given to the apostles and really not to us. They're the ones that were to go into all the world, not us. No. You see, when Jesus gave this command, he basically was saying, what I tell you as apostles, you make sure you give to them. Everything he told them in this Great Commission was not just for them. It was to be transmitted to us, and we are to receive it faithfully. That's the first thing. The second thing now. Do you know what the main verb is in this sentence? Now I'm getting down into English, and it's very specific in the original language. There is one main verb. The thing that's interesting about the original language of the New Testament, the Greek, this particular verb is in the imperative mood. There are commands, and then there are commands. This is absolutely necessary for us to grasp. What is the main verb? Make disciples. Not go. No, not go. The main verb here is make disciples. And then those three other things that we look at that we usually say are verbs are actually participles. And we say in the English language, and I guess it's fair to say it for the Greek too, a participle is a little word that is a verbal adjective. And what it's doing is it is modifying that verb. That's what an adverb does. The adverb is to make disciples. That's what this passage is all about. And then those three little participles, you look at them and you read it for yourself. The first one is go. Let me ing it. Remember the commercial that we have about inging things? Well, let me end it in an ing. It literally could be translated going. Then the next participle is baptizing. And the next one is teaching. This is how we are to make disciples. In fact, if we put this in a very simple sentence structure, Jesus is saying, make disciples. As you are going anywhere and everywhere, make sure you're baptizing and you're teaching. There we go. There you now have the emphasis of this passage, which sometimes we kind of lose in the way it's presented to us. You know, when we make disciples and when we look at what Jesus says about making disciples as we go, as we baptize, and as we teach, it is, listen carefully, it is not a one and done thing. Right? Like, as soon as we get them in the water and they come up out of the water, okay, I've done it. No, that's not even half the job. Do you understand what it means to make disciples? Help them become followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. Help them to keep on growing. How do you do that? Because you keep on teaching them. So you think that evangelizing is all there is to this? No, no. You think that just telling them to hear, believe, repent, confess, and be baptized is all there is to making disciples? And once they're baptized, poof, my work is done? No. It's much more involved than that. As we look at this, this process is not a one and done. It involves more than just evangelism. It involves dedication and devotion to those that we are discipling for Christ. It involves everything that it takes to help them grow up in the faith, to grow up in the grace and the knowledge that is Christ Jesus. May I put it simply? In some ways, the work is never done. Then there's more. Because this baptizing into the name is so significant. And it can be translated either way. Baptize in the name or baptize into the name. It can be translated that way. I'm always humored when I see that there's some scholars that love to argue one way or the other. No, it means in. No, it means into. It doesn't matter. It ultimately comes down to the very same thing. What does it mean to be baptized in the name or into the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit? It means that you are being placed, when you are being baptized, you are being placed in a relationship that is about loyalty and total commitment. It is as if, as one is being baptized into the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, a pledge of allegiance. I guess we don't know what that is anymore in America, because that's pretty much been kicked out of school and kicked out of our lives, because we can't say one nation under God. But when you look at this, this is exactly what it's all about. This process of making disciples, it is a pledge of allegiance to the Lordship of Jesus Christ and to the fellowship of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. This ought to shape the way in which we go into the world, and we share the gospel with others as we baptize them, as we are teaching them, present tense, by the way. We're not just trying to tell them about God. Well, we are, but we are telling them about God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit. Seems like we leave out the Holy Spirit sometimes. I don't see that as much as I used to. Thank God that you have awakened to the blessings and the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, beloved. That you understand we serve a threefold God. One God in three persons. And this is what we are bringing people to and must be a part of the very plan of salvation. And so as we look at that aspect, we are about teaching. And that word, like I said, is in the present tense. We're not done when they're just simply baptized. Oh yes, we've taught them to bring the point to the point of baptism. But then, like I said, our work has just begun. We are teaching them what? Go back and look at the passage. We are telling them, in teaching them and encouraging them to learn to observantly and continually obey everything that Jesus has said. A long time ago, when I was a young preacher, I had somebody say, well, what exactly is it in Matthew that we are to teach them? And I said, everything. But what in the Gospel of Matthew? What is it that we're to teach them? And I said, everything. I know what they're doing because it's what preachers love to do. You know, 3 points, 5 points, 7 points. Can't go over that. It's too long. So just 1, 2, 3. Give them the 1, 2, 3. We're to do the, they were looking at three things. I wonder about that. Only three things? Everything Jesus said. He never seemed to understand that it was everything Jesus said. Which I have to admit is a little bit overwhelming. But he was looking for one thing, two things. I guess if it was one thing, I could have told him. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, your mind, and your strength. And to love your neighbor as yourself. And that's one commandment, Mark says. But you begin to understand the point here. It is a never-ending process. We are doing something critically important for their lives. And I suppose what we could be doing when we're thinking about making disciples and helping someone to become a disciple, and all the while you realize we ourselves are continuing in the process of being disciples, I suppose one thing it could certainly involve, we are actually teaching others, as well as ourselves, to live up to the meaning of baptism in our own lives. Into the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So we're teaching. Wonder what verse I could use to teach to get that across. How about Galatians 2 and verse 20? Funny thing is, it doesn't mention the word discipleship at all. But Galatians 2:20 tells us everything you need to know in one highly compressed verse about discipleship. I have been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, yes, this body of flesh that I still have to deal with, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me. There it is. That's what I need to communicate to everyone who would be a disciple. That's what I need to learn to practice in my own life. But there's a third thing we now look at. And as you close out the passage, as you look at verse 20, as it says, teaching them to observe all the things I've commanded you, and behold, that's a little particle in the Greek language, particle, just a little tiny word, but it carries with it tremendous power. It's actually another imperative verb, behold. And I many times have said it means look. Let me intensify it for you because this passage is incredibly intense. It means basically pay attention and never forget this. You know, we look at this going to all the world, go into the world and everywhere and anywhere you go and preach the gospel and teach and baptize. And we look, how in the world am I going to do that? Don't forget the last part. Jesus says, remember this. Pay attention to this. In all this process of being a disciple and in making disciples, I will be with you to the very end of the age. Maybe that's all we really need to be worried about. And you see, it takes all the worry away because we make making disciples so complicated when it doesn't have to be. God will be with us if we ourselves are truly committed and dedicated to Him. And as we look at the world around us and we seek to bring people to Jesus, thank God so many of you are involved in that process daily, weekly, yearly. Thank God for that. But there's something else. He says at the end, almost the last statement made in the Gospel of Matthew, I will be with you to the very end of the age. And this is the book of Matthew in a nutshell. Because in the beginning of the book, we are told that Jesus' name would be the Emmanuel of Isaiah 7:14. Emmanuel means God with us. At the end of the Gospel of Matthew, it begins as it ends. It ends as it begins. It tells us everything we need to know about discipleship. God is with us. What a beautiful statement. there is the encouragement and the force that compels us to indeed understand and appreciate this process called discipling. Let me make it even more explicit. If we are truly believers, and you are, beloved, we are, and we believe in the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we do, and if we truly believe in God's providence that He is with us through everything, thick and thin, then we will realize and accept what the Great Commission is really all about. Do you know what the Great Commission is? And I don't know if we say it this way often enough. It is basically our mission statement. If you're part of almost any business, every business in the modern day world must have a mission statement. Here is who we are. Here is what we do. Here are the things that we believe. Here is what we are all about. It is our mission statement. It's the mission statement of the church. It's the mission statement of our lives. What is our purpose? Everybody's running around looking for purpose and for meaning. Jesus gives it to us right here in this Great Commission. This is our mission. In fact, can I use a Star Trek term? It is our primary directive. That's the key. This is our, to make disciples. What's the church for? To make disciples. What is my Christianity for? To make disciples. Yes, to be disciples and to make disciples. Now, here's what we've got to see. We are to be disciples who disciple. Think about that again. We are disciples, Christians, believers. We are believers who help others come to believe. We are disciples who disciple. We are discipling, not to ourselves, but to the one and the only Lord Jesus Christ, to the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. That's what we are about. That's who we are. We must never forget that. If we fail in the primary directive of our mission in the kingdom of God, and that's what it is, our mission in the kingdom of God, if we fail in this, we have failed God. We have lost our way, not only as believers, but as a church. We haven't lost our way, have we? You haven't lost your way. Thank God, I don't believe we have. But like Josh said this morning, we can always do better. We can always improve. And that's what this is all about. Failure to make disciples as we go, as we baptize, and as we teach. Failure to do this is a failure of our own personal discipleship. And may that never be the case in any of our lives. And so, how do you close out a sermon like this? Well, I'm going to let Matthew close this sermon out. He began the book, he ended the book on this concept of make disciples, and he told us what that's all about. And Paul amplifies that when he says, I've been crucified with Christ, it's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. That's discipleship. That's discipleship. Let me go to one of the greatest invitations that Jesus ever gave, and it's found in the middle of the Gospel of Matthew. It's found in the 11th chapter of Matthew, where Jesus is declaring something tremendous about who He is and what His Father is doing in Him. In verse 27 of Matthew 11 chapter, He says, everything has been handed over to Me. And finally, He says in verse 28 and 29 and 30, here is the invitation for us now. And it's all about discipleship. And yet the word disciple is never used. Come to Me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And here's discipleship in one word, or maybe a three-word phrase. Take My yoke upon you. What does it mean to be a disciple? Right there. Do you know what taking the yoke means? It means to join together with someone or something. But in this case, it's a someone. To join together with Jesus Christ. In submission and in service. That's it. Take my yoke upon you, Jesus says, and learn. You see, the teaching, the learning process that goes on as we live out our baptism in our life and help others live out their baptism in theirs. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart. That's what it also means to be a disciple. Gentle and humble, meek and lowly. And you will find rest for your souls. And then Jesus adds, for my yoke is easy. Oh, it's so hard to be a Christian. I say that sometimes, so do you. But Jesus says right here, when we put it in perspective, it is something that we lovingly do because we love Jesus with all our heart, our soul, our mind, and our strength. We give our life to Him in full submission and total commitment. And then we give Him the service of our lives and the sacrifice of our lives. That's what it means to be a Christian. If you have yet to be yoked with Jesus, be joined to Him and with Him in submission and in service, baptism is at the focus and the center of what our very life of discipleship means. If you have yet to be baptized into Christ because He is your Lord and your Savior, and you're willing to do whatever He says, and you're willing to be immersed into the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, will you come as together we stand and sing this closing song?